Girl, I pointed to myself with my thumbs, burning a brighter shade of red. Martin's eyes flickered to mine and narrowed. I was being scrutinized. Abram chuckled and nudged me flirtatiously with his elbow. He turned to smile to Martin. Martin was not smiling. "Hi, I'm Abram, Katie's bassist." I shook myself and realized I'd made no introductions. "Right. Martin, this is Abram. He plays bass in the band." "Abram, this is Martin."
"Pleasure to meet you, Martin,"
Abram said, like it truly was a pleasure, and offered his hand. Martin's glare focused on the offered hand, the same hand that had seconds ago rested on my shoulder. Then he lifted his gaze to Abram's. He reached forward and accepted Abram's hand for a shake. It was one of those weird man handshakes that last too long, and where the hands turn a little white at the knuckles. After several seconds, I couldn't take it any longer. This was Martin Sandecki, Grand Jedi Master of the short-tempered fistfight. Ye Martin of old never needed a reason to lose his temper. Granted, I hadn't seen him in almost 9 months. But the last thing I needed was Abram with a busted jaw or, worse, a hurt hand. Willis might never forgive me. So I reached forward, pulled them apart, and tugged Martin toward the street. "And we're done. Martin, would you be so kind as to drive me to Grand Central Station?"
"You've got an impressive grip for such a pretty stockbroker,"
Abram yelled after us.
"I'm not a stockbroker, asshole."
Martin's voice was low and belied the intensity of his irritation. I could feel hesitation in his steps, like he wanted to turn around and show Abram the meaning of an impressive grip. So I linked my arm through his and increased my pace. Abram's laughter followed us as far as the street, and I turned right even though I had no idea where his car was parked. Being so close to him was disconcerting and set my heart racing. We made it to the end of the block before Martin used my hold on his arm to stop us and pull us to the corner, out of the pedestrian traffic.
"Where are you going?"
I released him and took a step back, grateful for the space. "I don't know. I just wanted to get you away from Abram." Martin's gaze swept over my face.
"Why? Does he bother you often?"
"No, not at all. He's fine, and we get along fine. I think he was just trying to be helpful in his own weird way." He was still scrutinizing me as he shifted a step closer.
"You two ever..."
I released a pained sigh when I understood what he was asking, deciding the evening had taken a sharp turn in the direction of completely preposterous. I closed my eyes, fought the urge to cover my face. I won. I didn't cover my face, but I did take a minute to collect myself before saying, "That's none of your business. You said you didn't mind giving me a ride to the station." I opened my eyes but didn't manage to lift my gaze above his chin. "Will you please take me to Grand Central Station so I can catch the train home?" I could tell he wanted to say more. He wanted to yell, scream, and rage, and I couldn't wrap my mind around the implications of his short fuse, why he might be angry. I reminded myself that this was Martin Sandecki, who always expected people to jump when he said so, who'd never had a problem yelling at females and males and turtles and grass and furniture. I braced for his tantrum. Instead, he took a deep breath, silent but visible in the rising and falling of his chest, and nodded.
"Yes, it would be my pleasure to give you a ride to the station."
I squinted at him, at his oddly polite words and tone.
"Martin? Parker.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before we're within the confines of your automobile? Anything loud, perhaps?" He shook his head and pulled his leather gloves out of his coat pocket, his tone soft, gentle even.
"You should wear these. It's cold."
"You want to say something. What is it?"